Good evening. Good evening.
Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. This is International Black Summit Talk Show Network coming to you live and in color. Multiple aspects of color. Anyway, my name is Glenn Greenwich. I'm out of New York, and we're going to have Henrietta Bird is going to be joining us shortly. We've got quite a few folks lined up here, and we're going to get started with the International Black Summit, the Declaration, and that is Declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There's nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children. Building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. New York City, February 10th, 2013. Above, below, within, and around. A moment of silence, please. Thank you. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and the purpose of the International Black Summit is to provide an opportunity for participants to bring into being their vision for the black community and the world. Our website information is www.blacksummit.org. So if you want to get some more information, we are going, our annual event is going to be in Ottawa, Canada, the first weekend in August, the first full weekend in August. So if you haven't gotten your information, please come up to the website and check it out, and we'll be having some information for you about registration as well. I know there's going to be a bus leaving from Baltimore. So the Baltimore family is going to be putting together a bus ride. So if you don't want to drive, you want to just hang out with some folks traveling up, certainly check it out on the website and give you some information for that. Henrietta, how are you doing, my dear?
I am doing very well.
Good.
It is a wonderful February day. In Chicago, and it has been raining for about 3 days, so you know we are very excited because it's 45 degrees, and that is a wonderful thing in February.
Well, we're gonna get some weather like that here in New York. We're supposed to go up to 48 after a foot of snow yesterday. So
okay.
So it's bring it on. Bring it on. What did they say? Ponsatoni said there's going to be a spring of start and there's no more 6 weeks. I hope he's right.
Yeah.
I'm ready to get to my garden so I can start doing my natural farm in there. So I can get
right.
The products that I know in my body that I know are organic.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, this has been a real interesting, organic kind of weekend for me. I've been to three vegan restaurants this weekend, and it is interesting how the restaurants are creating more and more fast food for vegetarians and vegans. You know, it's really, really interesting. That's another show. I won't get into that this evening, but it's, you know, this is African American History Month, my favorite month. You know, favorite month. I love this month, even though, you know, here at the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, every Sunday is African American History Month for us, because we one of the things that's available in the International Black Summit conversation is acknowledgement, praise, and thanksgiving. Acknowledgement, praise, and celebration of who we are as a people and the contribution we are to the world. And we acknowledge. That's one of the things that we do regularly here. But tonight, we are going to acknowledge a great African-American named Leroy Homer Jr. And so I thought we would, you know, just take a few moments, Glenn, and really take a look at who this gentleman is and the legacy he's left here for us. I know we had a brief conversation about it, but when I went to look up this information because a friend of mine she just started talking about him yesterday, and she was really just like really taken because someone on Facebook, you know, had a conversation going on about this gentleman. And he is the pilot who was flying the plane. He was the first officer who was flying the plane that crashed on 9/11 in Pennsylvania. And so there's a lot of information on the web, you know, about him. A lot of information about him, but he actually was only like 33 years old when all of this took place. He is the first, let me just read what it says. It says, Leroy Wilton Homer Jr. was the first officer of United Airlines Flight 93. Which was hijacked as part of the September 11 attacks in 2001 and crashed into a field near Shanksville, Pennsylvania, killing all 33 passengers and 7 crew members. He was born August 27, 1965, and he transitioned in that crash on September 11. He was married and to Melody Homer, and he was educated at St. John the Baptist High School and joined the Air Force. He does have a daughter named Laurel Homer. And
I got a shout out because Brother Man grew up in Long Island, New York.
Oh, he did. He did?
Yes, he did.
I didn't read that.
Yeah.
But the controversy that my girlfriend was talking about that was on Facebook yesterday
was out of all of the, you know, and I don't know this. Now, this is, I don't know this to be a fact. I just know this. This is what she was saying to me, that there was controversy about it because all of the films that have, or any of the information that has been made, you know, the film, the stories, the his position was never acted out with an African American actor. And there's like no mention of him being an African American. And my friend said that's what the discussion on Facebook was about.
Well, you know, this might be one of those situations, again, you know, where we don't get the notoriety, and so we can use that platform, our platform here at the International Black Summer Talk Show Network, and especially Black History, to let people know about it. Because I know I posted some things on Facebook, and you know, I challenged some people to find out who he was and what he was about, to come tune in. And we've got quite a few people who have actually done that tonight.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good. And there are pictures, you know, on Wikipedia of his daughter and his wife, you know. And
of him.
And of him, right. Yes, also of him. But just a really a wonderful gentleman. Just accomplished, you know, and at a very young age, just very accomplished. And, you know, there's a nice love story about how he and his wife met and all of that. But just a wonderful person who had received all of this, all of these accolades while he was in the Air Force and, you know, like all of that. So I would really like for us to do, you know, probably a more in-depth discussion about him, you know, as time goes on. But he is the person that we would like people to, you know, like Lynn said, Google his name and see what you find. His name is Leroy Homer Jr.
Yeah.
And
now, one of the other things I want to bring up is that he and the captain, Captain Jason Dahl, actually were struggling with the struggling for control of the plane, and the two of them actually were able to transmit to the ground services, or you know, the controllers, I guess. Mayday. And, you know, so that they would know that something was going on the flight. The other thing I want to mention is that he's at the National 9/11 Memorial. He's memorialized at the South Pool on panel S67. So those of you who frequent or visit New York, if you ever go to the memorial, which I recommend you do that. As a New Yorker, I did that for the first time last year in the summer, and I hadn't been down that way really, except I think I had a couple out-of-town guests twice, but it was something to actually go visit the memorial and see, you know, the whole exhibit. It was very emotional for me, I must say. Even after more than 10 years, it still was a very emotional thing for me. And at the time, I did not know of Mr. Leroy Homer Jr. So I just wanted to say that about him. And you know, and he's a very brilliant brother. I mean, this is somebody who joined United Airlines back in 1995 and started out as a second officer for a Boeing 727. So he upgraded, let me give you another little insight. I used to work for United Airlines in flight ops. So I know and one of the things that I worked on and worked with was the requirements for the pilots, the computer file that would keep that information and update it. And so the training that's required to move up and to get promoted to be a 757 and 767 first officer is no small task. And to be black and to do that, you have to be sharp, because there's a lot of competition to go up. Because as you go up in the capacity into the flights, you of course are more money. So of course the older folks up in there like to lock those in and keep those assignments for themselves. But anyway, back to you, Henrietta.
Right, but that's good. I mean, and we know that. We know that. And it's interesting because these are people we should know about before something happens. You know what I mean? He was a history maker when he was alive. When he was in a body. He was making history. And so that's another one of our unsung heroes, that we need to know about, so that people know, like, that this, he's just another way shower. Like, this can be done against all odds. It can be done. You can move up in rank. You can, do all of these other things.
And
so
people should also know that he did fly for the U.S. Air Force,
right?
In 1987, and is when he was a member of that class in 1987, and again went up through the ranks, and I remember reading somewhere that he is an honorary Tuskegee Airman. They gave him that designation at one of the ceremonies. I'm not sure if it was for the memorial or not, but he received many rewards and citations, including honorary membership in Historic Tuskegee Airmen, the Congress of Racial Equality, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Award, the Southern Christians Leadership Conference Drum Major for Justice Award, and the Westchester County Trailblazer Award. So, this cat was definitely top-notch, top gun, as they say, and really excelled. And there's not a lot known about him in our community.
So the International Black Summit would like to just acknowledge First Officer Leroy Harmon Jr. And we just are really thankful to have him. And to have shown the way and send lots of love and energy to his wife and his daughter, as they made this adjustment. But thank God they had the time they had together. And that's that segment. So let's move into our next segment. With a brief little Ottawa break, International Black Summit
The annual event, as you heard Glenn talk about earlier, is in Ottawa, Canada this year, August 2nd through the 5th, 2013. We ask that you go to blacksummit.org and sign up, register for the summit, register for the prerequisite, and join our network. You know, join our blacksummit.org network. There's a network there that you can join. We will give you updates as to where the prerequisites will be held, so that if you can't get to Ottawa until Thursday evening for the opening ceremonies, you can do the prerequisite somewhere close to your home. And if not in the state, somewhere close by. Just let us know that you need to do the prerequisite, because in order to start the conversation on Friday, you must have done the prerequisite before then so that you don't miss anything. You can do the prerequisite on Friday, but you will miss the beginning of the conversation. So we try to encourage people to do the prerequisite before the event starts on Friday, August 3rd.
Well, on that note, let me let you know what the conversation is. The question for 2012 and 2013, which is the question that we engage in. So what we do is we engage in the question for the full year to look at it and look to see what it does and how it impacts our life. The question is, what is available when I notice my trigger, be with what is, and trust that it provides me access to my vision fulfilled. So some of you may know what a trigger is, but we have a particular way we hold a trigger in the International Black Summit, and that's something that you're unwilling or unable to be with, and that trigger has you go on automatic pilot. So that's the first part of the question. The second part is be with what is. So we've been inside of that conversation for the last couple of years in terms of be with what is and not what it ain't, and not what you want it to be, not what you think it should be, but really being with what is powerfully, and then trust that it provides me access to my vision fulfilled. So all of that is pointing to who I am and what my vision is and what I'm up to having life be for myself. So anyway, that's the question that we're going to be engaging in, and you can start that engagement as well prior to going to the summit, but that's what we're going to be engaging in at the summit event in Ottawa, Canada. Back to you, Emily.
All righty. So I'm just checking in to see if our special guest is here tonight. And
There's a hand up, area code 5510. Hold on, let me see. They may want to add something.
Okay.
Area code 510-798. Go ahead, you're live on the air.
Hey, good evening. How are you?
Good.
Excellent. I'm a first-time caller, and I'm really loving what I'm hearing. It's excellent. Thank you very much for doing the show.
Welcome to the show. What's your name?
My name is Mayla, and I actually met Henrietta at one of those vegan restaurant events and heard about this.
Okay.
Oh, thank you for calling in.
My pleasure.
Great, and definitely hold on, because we've got a special guest coming on. Momentarily.
Right.
Okay. Right. I didn't know if I could comment on what I've heard earlier or exactly how the procedure is.
Certainly. Go ahead. Yeah.
Oh,
you like
well,
to comment? Go ahead.
Great to learn about the brother who was involved in 9/11. I also didn't know anything about him. I wanted to share with those others who might be listening that there was controversy around Red Tails, that there were no African-American women really shown in the film. and that there were, in fact, African-American women involved as ground crew, et cetera. And I just wanted people to know about that history. Also, about women and black women in general who have served in the military. I've worked at libraries for years and years, not in Illinois, but in another state. And I found this book. Generally, when I'm new at something, I'll either get a book for young adults or for kids. So I saw this book with the black face on the cover about war and black women. So it was called Mare's War, M-A-R-E apostrophe S.
Mm-hmm.
And it is fiction, but it's based on a lot of fact. And it does talk about African-American women serving in World War II. And not to take anything away from the people who did the nursing, et cetera, but these are women who were actually in the ground forces. So I thought that that's something that, that needs to also be acknowledged about African-American women who have served in the military. Because you were talking about the brother who had served so gallantly. I think a lot of people don't know about African-American women who had served in the military and not just, and again, this is beneficial also, not just as nurses and not just as people behind the scenes, but actually in combat.
Thank you so much. That is so important. You know, we just need to share. We need to continue to share, you know, all these wonderful things, because we have people who have desire to do things like that, and just to know that there were people of color who've done those things before, you know, would just be really good for a young lady to hear, you know, who had that same desire. And we need to know about it as a community, you know, just so we can acknowledge those people. And you know, so often we criticize people for having these desires to do certain things, especially when it comes to combat, you know.
Yeah.
I know in just about most families, when they hear somebody is enlisting, it's like, oh, my God, you know, why does they want to do that, you know? But somebody does it. Somebody has to do that, you know. And I think, you know, like the more we support people in their desires to do a particular thing, the greater the community becomes. You know, because no matter what it is, if that's what you desire, that's what you long to do, that you're going to be great doing it, you know. So I think that's really, really nice. Can you give the name of that book again?
Oh, again, it's called M-A-R-E apostrophe S, Mare's War, W-A-R.
Okay.
Mare's
great.
War. And again, it's fiction, but it's based on a lot of fact, and they do tell a lot of facts in the back of the book.
Okay.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. And stay on, you know, stay online. We're gonna mute your mic so that we can open another one. But please stay on for the rest of the conversation. I think you'll really, really enjoy it. And if you, again, if you have a question just or a comment, you just press the number one button, and we'll see that your hand is raised. And if Msafiri is online, if she would just push the number one button so that we can see that you're here with us. Okay, there she is. Great. So this is Msafiri, are you on?
Yes, good evening.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. And let me introduce you to Glenn. Well, you had a moment to talk with him the other day.
Yes.
I'm just checking to see if we need to mute, if I need to mute my phone, because there's some feedback. Right. But Msafiri is a wonderful person that Glenn and I have spoken to, who has a wonderful message for us. And I'm not going to take any of any more of the time up. I want you to first introduce yourself to everyone, and secondly, tell us what you are about.
Okay. I'm Insha Fiona Jordan Bay, and I have a passion for, I don't want to say holistic, I don't want to say alternative, but it is holistic healing virtues for the whole body, mind, and soul. And so I practice eating and meditating on the whole body in terms of nutrition, meditation, botanical oils, and healing touches. As a practice, my practice is called TJL Health Consultants, and we originated out of Laurel, Maryland. And so I basically do lectures, nutritional classes, and home and phone consultations. In terms of people who want to enrich their knowledge that they have about their own health and to become more stable in living a full potential life, whether they have infirmities or ailments, or they're just wanting to live the maximum and enrichment of getting more energy in their daily routine. Back to you, Henrietta.
Thank you. That's great. That's great. You are listed as a health minister.
Yes.
That's the information that I received, and I like that. You know, I like that. I like that title because it just makes sense. You know, it just makes a lot of sense. A person who speaks about health, you know, spirit, soul, body. You know, I think the term minister is really appropriate. You know, for what you're doing, I understand you have some people that you've been working with, and you have some wonderful experience to share with the listeners this evening about different things. If you could just pull one of the things in, because we're going to you know, work with, of course, every facet of what you do, but if you could just take one of the things that you do and really detail, like a person comes to you and what might be the situation, you know, hypothetically, you know, what might they come to you for? And if you could just walk us through the process of what you do.
Okay. Let's take eating, digestive. Basically, humans love to eat. We do. We Americans conversate in most of business and livelihood is around food. And we like good tasting food. So if a person came to me and says, I would like to eat more healthier or change my diet for not a health reason, a medicinal purpose, but I want to change my diet because I need more energy. And the first thing we would discuss is, what is your normal eating? What do you eat normally when you wake up? First thing you put in your mouth in the morning, what do you eat for lunch? What do you eat for dinner? What's your snacks like? And so we would have that discussion around what a person likes. And through that, it will give information of what does digest well, what doesn't agree with their body, and that goes into a number of things, proper digestion, proper food combinations and the rules to proteins and fruits and vegetables and acidities and alkaline balances. And there are certain rules to our food that we eat, you know. Proteins really do not mix with combinations of starches. And fruits do not really mix with starches either, as well as proteins. And so when we grow up, we eat what we're giving at the dinner table or at the breakfast table, and it tastes good, and that's how we feed our children. But it's not necessarily healthy for the internal body to digest properly, to get proper energy and to have proper fats in our bodies. So one of the first things I do, as I said, is talk about what do you eat. Do you like crunchy food? Do you like hot food? Do you like foods that are bland, okay? Because all of those taste buds are in alignment to do something internally. Hot foods really tone the body. Bitter foods kind of cleanses our systems, our organs, and our tissues so that they can detox as well as rejuvenate to work properly. Moving into food combinations, as I mentioned, proteins don't combine with starches, mainly because it doesn't digest well. Let's take the digestion of juices from an acidity diet, where, let's say, broccoli may not really mix with starch, a rice, because it's kind of hard on the digestive system, along with eating meat, okay? Your meat should really be eaten with your vegetables, because it's alkaline protein, and it's easier to digest. Nuts eating with fruits, that doesn't combine, because it's roughage and fiber that doesn't compose in your health that lets it go through the digestive system, that enzymes in the stomach to, I want to say, to actually the stomach churn and get the food to go in the upper intestines, to go through the system to your lower intestines and work through the gallbladder and the pancreas and into the liver. It takes a longer process, you know. Each of our organs actually has a time to digest. And what do I mean by digesting? If you're eating melons or fruits, that's approximately three hours. You know, and pathetically speaking, bananas, cantaloupes, and that line basically work through the digestive system in 3 hours, okay? And melons are one of our alkaline foods. When I say alkaline, it's kind of cool and soothing to the system. If we take grapefruits and lemons and limes, pineapples, that's acidity, okay? And that works through our system in 2.5 hours, 3 hours, depending on how much we eat. You know, that is a combination that works good with apricots and cherries. What it does not work with is carbs, dates, plantains. That's not a good combination working together. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
So let me just ask a question here. So I'm clear about what you're saying. You're saying that proteins and starch don't digest well together.
Right.
And
right.
So what you're saying is I eat fish, which is a protein, correct?
Yes, it is.
And spaghetti. That
starch.
Doesn't digest well together.
It doesn't. Physically not.
Okay. So let me ask you this. If I eat vegan fish and a vegan fish, when I say that, I'm saying some kind of protein, whether it's sea tan or whether it's tofu, and it's been fried in cornmeal or something like that. Does that not digest well? Also?
Protein or protein will digest. That digests well together. But if we're talking about a combination where we may have rice, let's say ground rice, and we have ground beef, and we have kale, that approximately combination together is hard on the digestive system to digest. It is digestible by all means. Everything that we take, and when I speak about digestive, we're talking about anything we put in our mouth. Once it meets with the saliva in our mouth, we'll start in our digestive system, okay, because we have to maturate that food in our mouth to go down our esophagus into the stomach. And once it gets in the stomach, it starts to work through the system. It's also a process that we must chew our food to the smallest molecule that we can for a better digestion. We do chew our food, but how many of us chew 54 to 100 chews for each part of food that we put in our mouth? Okay, which kind of brings us into our cleansing system. How well do we cleanse and how often do we cleanse? Okay, which is fairly an important part for us as people that need to have maximum of energy, maximum of lifespan. You know, Dr. Bernard Jensen speaks of all diseases in the body starts with what we put in our mouths and how often we put in our bodies, how well we chew it, how well do we detox food, which is pretty much why we have the illnesses that we do, beyond the fact that food is chemically treated today. And we do have that option of organic foods, which is wonderful. But how many of the masses are really eating organically that's untreated with chemicals in that line?
Excuse me, let me break in. We've got a caller that's been had their hand up for a while. Let me just see if they've got a question for you. Hold on a second. 513-235, go ahead, you're live on the air.
Good evening, thank you for taking my call. Some of your information is real interesting. Are there any ways that you can help improve digestion using, like, digestive enzymes or...
Yes, there is. There are enzymes that I have used and recommend as Dr. Moon's. His enzymes are very holistic. They are made with pure capsules, chocolate capsules, where it's easier to digest. A lot of times when we digest capsules, clear capsules, we see them come out in the stool. Enzymes work specifically in the body for chemistry that chemicals that we already have naturally in our bodies that break our food down. And adding enzymes help assist in getting the coating in our system to digest quickly and distribute within our bodies the energy and the food particles that we need for eliminating food that is just sitting in the upper intestines before it gets to the lower intestines. Okay. And that process, you know, a lot of times we have to urinate before we even do fecal. And that's because one of the things the enzymes do is that it will pull all of the extra water out of our bodies so that it can be solid substance to have that elimination process push more fluently.
Okay. Are enzymes something you need to eat to take off whenever you eat, or and does that help with some of the issues with food combining?
Yes, it does. It certainly does help with the food combined.
And Safiri, excuse me for 1 minute. And Safiri?
Yes.
Could you pull the phone back just a little bit away from away from you? Right. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. That's okay. Can I get your question again? Does food enzyme?
Yeah. I was wondering if you should take digestive enzymes whenever you eat, or just at certain times, or and would they help with food combining?
Your taking enzymes should be taking at least. When you are on enzymes, taking enzymes before you eat, which helps the body know that it's getting ready to enter a new process. Something's getting ready to enter into the body so that it starts to flow with your body chemistry into the digestive system. It's preparing the esophagus to enter into the stomach, where the stomach will start to churn, almost like if you're familiar with chlorophyll, that helps the body light up and also gives it that that filter where it's giving it more stability for the muscles to work. In terms of food combinations, excellent with your vegetables, with your meats, breaks the meat tissues down inside so that you can digest well.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Have you ever experienced taking enzymes?
Yeah, I've tried them at different times, and I do find that they really do help me, I think, digest better. I don't have any problems. Sometimes, when I would eat certain foods, I'd have problems with, your stomach feels like overly full and bloated or certain things. Of course, they don't agree with you, and you have some digestive responses. Well, taking digestive enzymes really helps eliminate all those things.
Yes, particularly for that bloating. Go ahead, Ben.
I wanted a question. Now, is it because you take the enzymes, does that now create a dependency in your body to have to take these supplements? Or are they like a period of time where you can take the enzymes and kind of cure?
Ben, can you repeat that? I didn't hear you.
I was saying, is there at any point in time when you take enzymes, does that now prevent your body from creating enzymes that it needs naturally? Or is it something that can help you to put your body back on track so it can then produce it on its own? We'll hear a little bit about that.
Okay. It helps the peptides in the body, which is part of the enzymes, and it also aligns your body better. It keeps your body in alignment where you don't feel the bloatedness, or some people feel very drowsy after they eat, like they got to go to sleep, quote-unquote, meditis.
That's right.
That's one of the jokes that we say. But that's part of that digestive system that when one takes enzyme, it assists them to put their digestive system back in alignment. Okay, distributes that pepsin in the system to give it the proper energy.
Gotcha. Okay, great.
Okay.
This wasn't one of the restaurants I went to this weekend, but there's a restaurant in Chicago that's owned by an African American female. She does clinics and workshops and things like that. And a group of ours happened to be there last month, and she noticed that there were two or three people who were very sleepy in the audience, and she was explaining what that was about. One of the things that she said was that it was based on whatever we had eaten and how it was digested or not digested. And she recommended that we take these enzymes. She had a huge bottle of them. And she said, just take two or three of these and it's going to wake you up. She said, you just need to digest. Your food just needs to digest. I think that's what she said was the reason for it. And so there were several people. I was actually one of them who took the enzymes. And in about 10, 15 minutes, wide awake, like energy, like all of that.
And what did we do that? One of the things that the enzymes do is give you oxidation to the body, particularly in the brain, and when we eat poor combinations of food, it takes the oxidation out of our body, it kind of shuts us down some, and by taking an enzyme, it wakes up where we have the flow of air and blood through our system.
Well, you bring up an interesting point. And time check, we've only got about 5 minutes left. But I've noticed that when I'm digesting my food, my body is generating a lot of heat. And I've noticed that as I've gotten older, when I'm digesting food, my body, I actually can feel the warmth. The generation of my food. Is that normal or is that something?
It's a combination of hormones and it's a combination of food. There's certain foods that we should eat at certain times of the year. Like, for example, our fruits. We have melons in summer times. We have apricots sometimes. If we have dehydrated food, it's because we dehydrate that goes through a process of dehydration that we can eat year-round. So, in essence, for your food to give you that type of warmth is good for this season, the winter cold months, to give you energy and vitality. If it's in the spring that you're still feeling this hotness, that's because you're eating too many hot foods, which is in the line of acidities or acid versus alkaline. okay, after all these core foods. And let me name some of, let me see if I can call, alkaline is a type of fruit or vegetable, and they're juicy fruit. Springtime goes from 60 to 80%, summer 80 to 90%, fall 60 to 70%, and winter time, which is now 50 to 60%, vegetables, fruits that are juicy. Acidic food or heavy solid food. Food like starches, sugars, fats, oils, okay? The seasons, proteins versus fats, okay? Springtime is 20 to 25% and proteins. And springtime fats are 5 to 10%. Summer, proteins, 10 to 20%. And fats, it's 5%. For fall, 20 to 30%, and in fats, it's 10%. These are still foods that are called acidities. They're heavy in solids, okay, protein, starches, sugars, okay? Now, in winter, it's 25% to 40% in proteins. Now, in fats, it's 15%. Okay?
Got it.
So, it's so, just money to balance that.
Yeah. Now, we've only got a minute left, and I got one caller left, but we want to let you know that we're going to continue this conversation. So this conversation, obviously, there's way more information that we can condone to you in a short period of time, but I do want to honor the 803-581. You've had your hand up. Go ahead. We've
got
about
here.
A minute left.
Okay.
About a minute left.
All right. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. You're live on the air.
Yes. Hi, this is Shirley. I'm Safiri. I'm good to hear you. I remember meeting you in Indiana some time back. I did take your advice on the enzymes. Since then, I've read a lot about that, about how our bodies don't produce the enzymes as much after 25. And so if we're not really able to get the capsuled enzymes, we can eat a lot of that fresh vegetables because it has the fresh foods have the enzymes in it. Don't you agree? So if we eat that before we eat anything else, it'll help us break down our foods.
You're right. So have you changed your diet since we talked,
Definitely. I'm always starting my meals with fresh vegetables. In the morning, the first thing I'll eat is the fresh food so I can get those enzymes in me. And as I get older, I am also taking the enzymes with every meal. You find out which one works with you. But I do want to stress, because I live a 100% organic lifestyle, and organic is not some little preppy thing that people do. A lot of people think so, but it's really just eating foods as close to nature as nature has intended it, or the Creator intended it, as to eat that, which is what our great-grandparents ate a long time ago, and that's why as slaves, they were able to build their bodies because they were eating what was close to the ground, whereas the slave owners was eating what was being cooked, and they ended up with the gout and the other problems that the slaves didn't get. So that's always an example to me, and that's a good thing for people who don't know where to start. But if you can get foods organic, that is the way to go. The last thing I would put in my mouth would be a chicken that is not organic. I would never put that in there. And we could have a great discussion at some other summit time all about that, couldn't we?
And that's a good... Yeah, that's really a good a segue into what I wanted to say, because I don't want us to just cut off without interfering, without you giving information of how people can reach you. And we will have other shows. So go to blacksummit.org and look to see when the next show will be, because we are going to have more of these conversations with M. Safiri and with other people. We have people who are organic members of our network, and you know, we talk to them throughout the year, so we want to make sure that in Sophia you have time to give information how people can reach you. And I'm inviting people to go to blacksummit.org or go to Blog Talk and look to see when the next show will be, or leave your email address with us and we will contact you, okay? So, M. Sophia, could you give information, an email address, or...
Okay, sure thing. You can reach me at T as in Thomas, J as in Joy, L as in Love, Health Consultants, with the S, at Gmail. That's T as in Thomas, J as in Joy, L as in Love, Health Consultants, at gmail.com. And you can also reach me at 301-792-1166. I'll say the number again, 301-792-1166. And I thank you very much for having me, Glenn and Henrietta. It's been a joy. And thank you to Corey, Shrey. It's nice hearing from you again. And the other sister who spoke on the enzymes, I appreciate you so much. Information and questions were knowledgeable.
Absolutely.
I want to say that to just conclude everything, it's important that we do 8 things, and rest is one. Positive attitude and our spirituality, plenty of exercise, pure water, and do your herbs to activate, build, and cleanse your body. And you can have the optimum fullness of your lifespan. And with that, I turn back over to Glenn and Henrietta.
Very good. Excellent, excellent. Well, thank you. We loved having you. We love this kind of information. I have stopped eating meat about a year and a half ago, and I've been feeling great. I'm just eating seafood right now. And so I encourage folks to really take it on, you know, take on the cleansing, take on the and I'm not going to say diet, but I'm saying lifestyle change. That's really what it is.
Yeah.
Take it on, because it's your life and it's your body, it's your temple. So be careful what you put in it, and you know, and just be mindful. Anyway, we're out of time. We love you. Thank you for joining in on the show tonight. We're actually over by a couple of minutes, but this recording is available. Just go to blacksummit.org, our website, and look for the latest International Black Summit Talk Show show, and you can pick it up as well as in Blog Talk. Again, once again, thank you for tuning in. We're here every Sunday from 8 to 9 p.m., and hope that you can join us again, and certainly look for the tape.
Anything right, that's Eastern time. That's 7 p.m. Central Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And no, that's it, Glenn. Thank you. And Sophia, thank you so much. Make sure you look up our featured, you know, African American pilot. You know, do the work on that and listen to the show over and over again. And we'll talk to you next Sunday, 7 p.m. Our guest next Sunday will be the daughter of one of the African Americans who actually worked with the first Mayor Daley here in Chicago, which was really a unique situation, a black female coming on to share information about her mom being in politics back in the day, you know, an African-American woman. So join us again as we continue to celebrate African-American History Month and bring to you as much information as we can that will help our community. Good night.
Good night. Good night and God bless.